Remember that each of us is loved by God. Amen. I'm going to start with a quote from Thomas Merton. The saint is unlike everybody else, precisely because he is humble. Humility consists in being precisely the person you actually are before God. And since no two people are alike, if you have the humility to be yourself, you will not be like anyone else in the whole universe. Our two main characters in Jesus' parable are the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisees were often admired by the people because they devoted their lives to being well-versed in the law and purity rituals. And some were very politically powerful, and they promoted social and political change. And they sought to teach about how the Jewish people were to live their lives faithfully. Tax collectors were very wealthy people, and they contracted with Rome to collect the taxes. They paid Rome in advance, and then they would collect more than they paid Rome to turn a profit. So, why does Jesus seem to lift up the tax collector and put the Pharisee in his place? To answer this, we need to go back to Luke. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. It's really easy to look at someone else and judge them, to make assumptions about their lives, to put ourselves above someone else. And this particular Pharisee put himself above the tax collector to make himself feel better about who he was as a person. And his prayer to God was kind of whack. God, I thank you that I am not like these other people. This is what turns his praying into sinfulness. And this particular tax collector, he knows he is shunned and that he is hated, and he's ready to change. So his prayer to God is for mercy and forgiveness. So if we can empathize for a moment with the tax collector, who can't bear to keep doing the things he does to make his money, and who can't bear anymore to be on the receiving end of harsh critique and harsh judgments, then maybe we can begin to understand the compassion Jesus has for this man. Sometimes what I'm praying with coincides with our gospel readings. So it's gonna be a little heady, so I hope you'll bear with me. As you know, or most of you know, I go to Spiritual Direction every month. And for those of you who don't know, Spiritual Direction is a beautifully unhurried conversation between a seeker, their guide, and the Holy Spirit. And through deep listening, a spiritual director helps a person listen to that still small voice and discern how the Holy Spirit is moving in one's life. So my spiritual director and I, as part of my listening for the Holy Spirit in my own life, has me doing the Ignatian Adventure, experiencing the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius in daily life. And my focus for this month has been the three ways of loving, using the three kinds of humility. And this meditation as a reminder that Christian humility isn't about demeaning ourselves, because authentic humility is a way of loving God and ourselves. It proposes a humble person is able to recognize their need and dependence on God, and to recognize that we are not the center of the universe. God is. So the three kinds of humility are three ways or degrees of loving God. One way is not more better than the other, but each way builds upon the other. So you have first, second, and then third is where we strive to be as often as possible. But it's okay if we aren't always in that third space. So what are these three ways? In the first kind of humility, we express our love for God by doing our duty and following God's law while avoiding grave sin. We love God as our creator. But this love may be hindered by fear and excessive caution in acting. The second kind of humility is like the first, but asks us to move closer to God. We love God by honoring God's law and avoiding sin, but we also strive for cultivating a balance between our desires and attachments with what God wants for each of us. And we exercise good judgment and monitor our motivations carefully. Why are we doing what we're doing? We are sincere in our response to God, but not yet fully wholehearted. And the third kind of humility, we move beyond following God's law and towards imitating Christ more closely. We don't hold back. We simply want to be where Jesus is, no matter the cost. And this third way of loving asks us to pray to experience what Jesus experienced in his life. That is a scary prayer, but it is also the most rewarding prayer. We pray out of love to be with Christ and live according to Jesus' values. We become indifferent to judgment from the world. That helps us to act in just ways when we can hold on to that indifference. The third way reminds us how countercultural the gospel really is. So the invitation that I've been given with this meditation is to reflect upon, and I offer to you, is the question, how have I loved in these three ways described? And that requires the space to take some time and to look at each one and find ourselves in each one of those, and I find myself in each one, and that's how we grow. And that's how we deepen our faith, and that's how we build our trust with God. When we talk to God, it can't be all about us. It has to be balanced. It has to be shaped by wanting a deeper and abiding relationship with God. Our prayers need to be shaped by humility, recognizing our weaknesses and where we need help, recognizing that we need to express our love and gratefulness to God, and by recognizing our strengths as gifts that come from God and then using them for good. So I'm going to end with that quote from Thomas Merton. The saint is unlike everybody else precisely because they are humble. Humility consists in being precisely the person you actually are before God. And since no two people are alike, if you have the humility to be yourself, you will not be like anyone else in the whole universe. Amen.